Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. And unfortunately, for the last time, I guess, our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is episode 23, an odd amount of episodes this season.
Bullshit.
Entitled. What's it titled, Dave?
Shibuya Incident Gate Close.
All right. So, yeah, this is the last episode of the season. I'm sure this will be much more of a free-flowing conversation than probably talking about going through like scene-by-scene type of stuff. So I would say, I guess without further ado, we just kind of dive in.
What?
Without further ado, you want to just get in there?
All right.
You mean like right meow?
Yeah, right meow. I want to just get after it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we basically open up the episode, just I guess set the scene. We'll talk about everything that's Geto and Sumiki. That'll be kind of obviously the big conversation that's going to start us off, and then we can get into aftermath-type talk afterwards. But basically, Geto and Sumiki have this conversation, this philosophical battle, if you will, that we kind of got a glimpse of earlier in the season when she has the conversation with actual Geto. Now she's having it with pseudo-Geto, a.k.a. Kamo Noritoshi. And yeah, a lot of things are said here. Some things are done here. And then he kind of dips out. So there's a lot to talk about here, a lot to break down. So I guess Dave, maybe just giving like us an idea of where you're at with what happened. Obviously, you probably have some questions, some comments. So obviously the floor is yours.
Lot to bring up here, I guess. First being that definitely a shame that this is the end of the season. I mean, it sucks. Everything is one of the past YouTube comments we got. I'm sorry that I forgot to write your name down, but you said that this was one of the best anime seasons of all time. And
DZ Low 785. Shout out to DZ.
I've been sitting on that comment and this season now for a little bit. And I have to agree. I completely have to agree that even though as much as this is just an amazing season. I'm just so upset that it has to end here at 23 episodes and not the usual 24 episodes. That's fine. I mean, the ending was phenomenal, but I will say that this was definitely for me probably the most confusing episode of Demon Slayer of all time. We're watching Demon Slayer right now, so I have Demon Slayer on my brain too.
Are you interesting?
Well,
this first time,
yeah.
Oh, classic.
So we're,
but sorry to derail us there, but yeah, just probably the most confusing episode, because usually when, like, I know the power descriptions have been very confusing in the past, and those have been fine just because they're kind of powers and I don't really need to fully understand what's going on. But like this conversation here is so plot heavy and plot oriented that I really was trying my best to like understand everything. And even on two watches, it's still been a little bit tough. Like the whole conversation about Tengen, like I guess I'm not totally clear on what Tengen's role was originally, I guess in the first place. Their conversation about that, how pseudo Geto has stored all these bodies or people for so long. Let's just, I guess, start with the Tengen portion of it. So they're talking about Tengen's barriers. I don't even remember what those were, to be honest. Do you guys remember, like, early in the episode, like first part of it, they're talking about
So I guess essentially the conversation comes down to the difference between kind of the two paths that
Geto is offering,
that humanity can take moving forward. So Sumiki is kind of more on the path that like eventually human beings will kind of grow to a point where they can separate themselves from cursed energy, which then would create a world, the world that she wants, which is this world without cursed spirits and cursed energy, mm-hmm. because humans will have hopefully evolved past the point. Because as we learned, I believe it's last episode, that, or maybe we were reminded that, like, kind of human beings are the source of cursed energy. That's why cursed energy exists. That's why cursed spirits exist. It's because of human beings and their fears and their negative feelings. And so Pseudo-Ghetto is on the other side of that, of what they call the optimization path, where he wants to, like, optimize human beings for using cursed energy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's bringing up the Tengen part, because as she mentions here, and this is the first time they say it, if I am not mistaken, that Japan has, like, the highest concentration of cursed energy. There's the highest number of sorcerers. There's the highest amount of cursed spirits in Japan.
Yeah, pretty sure you're right about that.
Yeah, I think it's the first time they say it. But Tengen's ability, I mean, in my mind, is, like, kind of like what preserves, like, a little bit of, like, a balance there. And, like, it's so hard to say, because Tengen himself is such a confusing character, and he plays a huge role in the next season, which probably feels a little obvious at this point because they dropped this breadcrumb. But
he's kind of like Omniscient, and he has the barriers at the school too.
But, like, what is the significance? Like, because she's saying, yeah, like, wouldn't you want Tengen's barriers for your optimization plan? Like, I don't, like, what does that incorporate, I guess? And, like, she's saying also Japan would practically have a monopoly on cursed energy. Like, how do they not already have it, I guess? Like, how, what leads to them getting to the monopoly, I guess? Like, I don't get that really at all.
So it seems to be
not at all, but
yeah, my, I think, understanding it's of it and her understanding is that essentially Ghetto is trying to create essentially, like, super sorcerers in a way, of these people that, like, optimize the use of cursed energy.
Right.
So,
and
much
the only way that it would be, you would be a sorcerer, is if you ate a cursed spirit like Yuji, or you have control over them, I guess, in a sense, like Junpei.
It's either, yeah, you could become a vessel, which is Yuji's path, or you have, like, a technique imprinted on you, which was Junpei's path.
Mm-hmm.
Junpei, but Junpei was, like, not, his brain was like a non-sorcerer's,
mm-hmm.
basically. So he wasn't trained, is what he's implying, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was
so
saying
people
Japan
have, like, latent abilities, I guess, almost
untapped potential.
Okay.
Kinda.
Okay. I get that.
And he, like, he's basically saying, like, everybody that's not like those two people who can carry vessels or have abilities, fuck them, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming that they're all just going to die, I guess, with these curses that he's releasing onto the world.
I think, and the thing about Japan having a monopoly is,
like, what
he's, like,
what
releasing cursed spirits or whatever he's doing, which causes bad thoughts, which causes more cursed spirits and cursed energy to grow because of the whole way that cursed energy works and stuff. And since it's, like, centralized, this phenomenon in Japan, it's going to be pretty present in Japan because of these events that these dominoes that he's knocking down.
So
right, Kyle?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my interpretation of it. It's just that Japan's kind of already
right
home of jiu-jitsu, essentially, in the world. And then if you just give them basically just putting steroids in the water, then it's just like Japan theoretically could probably, I mean, if they wanted to, and it seems like this is kind of not necessarily the world that Pseudo-Ghetto wants, but when she uses the example, I mean, obviously the map zooms in on the United States, and she kind of says, like, other countries aren't just going to sit by and, like, let that happen.
Right.
And also realize that, like, this is kind of an unlimited pool almost of fuel and energy using human beings. Like, that's just, like, a terrible, I guess, not probability, but situation for humanity to be in, where we're kind,
like,
of
you're
now
saying
turning
fuel
to human beings as a fuel source.
And you're saying fuel source isn't in the sense that, like, humans think
cursed energy for things. Yes.
Okay.
That's essentially that side of it, is that, like, cursed energy is powerful.
Sorry.
It's
and then
very
what,
powerful.
And then what is Tengen's role again?
So Tengen's role in jiu-jitsu society is essentially that he creates barrier techniques that kind of suppressed cursed spirits and, like, cursed energy. So he just kind of, like, it's, I don't know how complicated or convoluted it is, but like he kind of almost like sets the foundations of society. Like,
he's also old as fuck.
He has control almost like if you think about like a video game, like he has controls of the sliders.
So does
for the most part.
So Geto needs to keep him alive, or is his goal to kill him? And she's kind of
you don't know that. Yet. She doesn't know that either.
Okay.
I don't think you're supposed to know what his plans are with Tengen.
Okay, because she is saying like it sounds basically like she's saying that he does want to he should be using Tengen in his plans for optimization. If I had to guess, and that he doesn't want to keep. He wants to keep Tengen alive. I'm sorry. If I had to guess.
As an immortal entity and a pillar of security within the Jujutsu community, not a fighter or someone who interacts with the everyday functions of the world.
It's essentially the fact that
he's like Shenron or something.
That he's trying to like unleash this like chaotic world, which is what he wants to do. And Tengen is a being that I guess technically in some senses could enhance that or also suppress that.
Suppress it, right. Just block it from happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tengen is like is a main player in season 3, season 4, like going forward. Like, Tengen plays a huge role in the story. It's all of his powers get explored and he has interactions with people and that all comes up like a lot later.
It's really hard for me to answer your questions
yeah.
because I know what is going to unfold and it's hard for me to answer your questions with the knowledge that only you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
But look, next episode is going to be like...
I mean, obviously, as confused as I am, I don't want people to think that like I didn't enjoy this finale. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding everything that was presented to me in this information dump, because mm-hmm. it was kind of confusing. Like, I get the gist of everything, you know, I get the core basicness of what's happening here, but I don't want to just understand that. Like, I want to understand more.
If you're confused, there's this really good resource. These guys, they cover them anime. It's called Binge Down TV.
But yeah, essentially what this conversation boils down to, and that might be the eighth time I've said essentially, but Kamo Noritoshi / Shudo Geto is now kind of creating what he considers to be like this chaos arena where he is giving people, he has kind of marked people throughout his time alive, essentially, is what you can say. He's also imbued cursed objects with sorcerers. And he is now kind of just like just creating almost this arena of like they're just going to battle it out. The cream will rise to the crop. Like he is forcing an evolution of humanity by just like creating this influx of cursed energy, powerful cursed spirits, we can jump quickly to the aftermath. The aftermath is what you see is like there's just cursed spirits rampant in the world now. He just unleashed so many of them. And what he says kind of at the end is that like, you know, are you watching Sukuna? Like, this is like the return of the golden age of sorcery, like the Heian era, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, has come again, where like he is essentially creating the conditions, the environment for people to evolve. He's putting so much stress on sorcerers that like they have no choice to either die or you evolve and get stronger.
Right.
And that's kind of what his goal is. And he doesn't know where it's going to go. He's just creating the conditions for it to happen.
Yeah.
And he's just going to enjoy basically the process.
And
that's
know
that's what the optimization part of it is. It's kind of this forced evolution.
We know what the next arc is called. They have released it officially.
You can say it.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
It's called the Culling. It's called Culling Game Arc, right, Kyle?
I think so, yeah.
And culling is like the when you wipe out large quantities mm-hmm. of wild animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of what the optimization side of it is. And like we're saying, Tengen's role kind of currently in society is he creates these barriers, he creates this foundation. He doesn't let cursed energy get like completely out of control in... which is pretty much the exact opposite of what Shudo Geto wants right now. He's literally just creating this insane environment for just, you know, battle, growth, potential, all that kind of stuff.
What was regular Geto's? I don't think he ever answered.
Basically.
Yeah, I was going to say he never answered the blonde woman, but I imagine it's the same thing as what the Shudo Geto.
Well,
when they had that conversation, opposite. It was like, Right. To get rid of everybody who can make curse energy.
That was my interpretation of normal ghetto was that he just literally wanted to kill everyone that didn't have a curse technique. Anyone that couldn't utilize or see cursed energy, like, you just needed to die. While pseudo ghetto seems to, like,
take that to another level.
He's kind of giving up people who don't currently have it the ability to use it, and then just throwing everyone into this huge battle royale, essentially. And it's like, we just need to get stronger as a species, basically.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, okay. That's,
yeah.
Got it.
Like, yeah, ghetto was kind of trying to cut off the bottom rungs of what he thought society was, which was just normal humans. To, like, what, then, like, at that point, like, evolve society where, like, okay, now there's only quote unquote strong people left, while pseudo ghetto is kind of making it almost like a game.
Yeah, I guess,
like,
that'll
really forcing this, like, wild / wilderness environment where, like, we're literally fighting for survival.
I guess, yeah, and this is not a question to be answered, I guess, now, but that just kind of is making me think about, like, just it's such a coincidence that pseudo ghetto took over Ghetto's body while having kind of like a very similar plan. Like, it almost makes me think,
curse,
like,
technique. He wants that curse technique.
Yeah. And then it makes me kind of think, like, how much are pseudo Ghetto and Ghetto, like, actually connected? Like, I know we saw that moment of regular Ghetto fighting back against pseudo Ghetto when Gojo was talking to him for a little bit there. But how much of this would Ghetto have approved of anyway? You know, was in his obviously that cannot be known because regular Ghetto's dead as of right now. But, like, did, you know, in his final moments, did Gojo man him to turn him to, like, a quote unquote good guy, you know, make him forget these plans? Or is he still kind of have that drive of wanting to kind of still follow through with this, you know? So there's something I'm kind of just talking to myself about.
It's interesting because, yeah, I think the crux of that question is, how does OG Ghetto feel about pseudo Ghetto kind of granting quote unquote normal humans?
Yeah, it's almost like he is granting his wish.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a different way to go about it. Yeah, that would be interesting, actually, to think
and
about.
Like, is Ghetto, obviously, another big overarching question is, you know, how alive is regular Ghetto? Like, if we just, you know, get this guy out of his mind, is he going to be alive? We saw his body completely, you know, destroyed, ripped to shreds. Like, should he be dead, or will he be able to come back to his body? I don't know.
His soul seems to still be alive, at least in some capacity.
Yeah, there were signs of it when, like, Gojo called him out before he got sealed. Mm-hmm. And I just saw this tweet that his, like, eye twitched just now at the end of this, at the end of his tenure, and, like, at the end when he's, like, yelling at Yuji and he's got the prison realm in his hand and, like, he's, like, looking at him and Yuji's yelling at him, his, like, eye twitches apparently, which people are saying, like, oh, Ghetto's there, you know, his soul.
By the guess, I would assume that if we were to somehow, like, exercise pseudo Ghetto from Ghetto's body, it would just be normal Ghetto still. Like, I think he would be alive is how I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of this Noritoshi's fucker's, like, power. Like, does he have to be in a live body or what? Like,
and,
like,
he does obviously have Ghetto's memories.
Exactly.
He does answer Blonde Chick's question as if it was Ghetto, and she kind of sees through it and is like, no, I was, like, talking to the actual Ghetto, not
you. Yeah, it's funny.
You.
She just kind of cuts herself off.
But it was an answer that normal Ghetto probably would have given, you know? But, yeah, just the extent of, like, how much they're meshing together. And I guess now that I'm finally understanding the political layout of everything, the next question is how is pseudo Ghetto able to use Mahito's abilities? I always thought it was he could absorb them and then, like, kind of resummon them. Or is this like him taking his ability to the next level of, like, also being able to use their abilities?
So if I'm not mistaken, I think they talked about it last episode too, in that when he, like, does that, like, maximum Uzumaki, I took that as, yeah, like, he can use their powers. It was an interesting wrinkle they discussed here too, of that when he absorbs the power, that it's like the technique is the technique. It's as well-rounded as it is at the time of absorption. It's mm-hmm. as good as it is at the time of absorption. So he kind of let Mahito and Yuji battle it out for however long they did, for months, year, over these two seasons, to like unlock a higher potential of the technique. That's my understanding of it, is that is him using that maximum output. I don't know for sure if the maximum output thing is why he can use it. It might just be like a base thing, and maybe Geto was never actually interested in absorbing the techniques, but that is my inkling.
It could also, I guess,
without researching it actually beforehand.
It could also, I guess, stem somehow from pseudo Geto's ability as well. Maybe like just the combination of Geto being able to absorb a cursed spirit and then pseudo Geto's ability. Because we know obviously pseudo Geto can use Geto's ability, so why wouldn't he be able to like absorb and use like cursed spirit?
Is he releasing old cursed spirits, or is he using Mahito's idol transfiguration to create cursed spirits, or is it both?
That is a very interesting question.
I guess the final question that I have is like, where did these things come from?
Yeah, because they just are like coming out of the ground, and
the technique that he uses is idol transfiguration, and Sumiki does comment that the symbol in the sky is the kind of hallmark of a long range technique activation. So it's definitely possible, that he was just like idol transfiguring souls on like an insane level in like the surrounding vicinity. And maybe the people coming out of the ground were just humans that were still left alive in the subways. I guess that could be the explanation there. Because I feel like it's a combo, because he also has cursed spirits that he has like stored inside of himself. Yeah, but also I feel like he wants
fighting. Right?
Release them, yeah. So I think the best way to think about it is the idol transfiguration.
I think so.
I think I saw something. I'm trying to find it right now. It was like a TikTok that definitely helped with it, but I feel like it was sent, basically Geto, I guess, had these people stored, and then like the moment that he had idol transfiguration, what he was looking for, like he just released all of them basically at once, is something the basic level of understanding that I took from the TikTok that I saw. But there's like, because there is a hint, they flashed something, I guess it might have been this episode, another episode, but there's something, I guess, that gets flashed that implies that like Geto had this like stockpile of humans just like at the ready, essentially.
I don't know. The actual cursed spirit that he keeps inside of him, I think I'm convinced of myself that he wouldn't actually release those. The ones that he like swallows himself, because he wants those to be able to like, fly on, play defense, shoot them out for offense type of deal. So I think it's just idol transfiguration of humans. And also he wanted the idol transfiguration to activate. Like he marked, for example, Megumi's sister.
Right.
He had marked people in their brains to make them, I guess, able to use curse techniques. And then idol transfiguration was the second part, where he then can change their soul so that they can actually like use and like understand and see cursed energy.
I think this confirms that Geto's power allows him to tap into the cursed spirit's techniques. Develop it further.
I just Googled it, and the first thing that popped up, and Google notoriously the first answer is not the greatest, but it is Reddit, and that's the way I use Google now, is /Reddit. So it said it's because it's the maximum output.
Okay.
Like that like elevated level, like the highest level of OG Geto's curse technique.
Yeah. When he made the comment that it was really cool, when he made the comment of like, I really was hoping to get Jogo's ability too.
Yeah.
It's just like,
that was sick.
Just like reminds me of like Blackbeard from One Piece. Like this guy's just rolling up, stealing everyone's abilities, just becoming the strongest. That was a really cool comment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a season.
That was really helpful for me personally. Yeah. He just kind of
fucks off with the prison realm.
Yeah, that was. It's just funny, being reminded that Gojo's just like in there, And I think like its eyes are like that because it's Gojo's eyes, right? The blue eyes around the.
It wasn't like that initially.
Yeah, like if it was anyone else's eyes, it wouldn't be as cool, basically, is what I'm saying.
He's just a beast. Dude, this anime was taking social media by storm, man, all season long. I don't know if you guys saw...
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Did you see that shit about the new year countdown?
No.
Oh yeah.
It's messed up. People were timing the new year to the plasma star vessel getting popped in the head by Toji, is like so.
I saw another one too.
It's a wild one to pick.
I saw another one of it being Nanami getting blown up. But it's like, it blows up
in his confetti.
Confetti, and it's like Happy New Year, and it's like Yuji's face, like.
Okay, yeah,
I think that shit is weird.
Yuji's black flash on Mahito. I think that's what I would want to time it to.
I find that shit really weird, but it makes me proud that it's so popular.
Yeah, the season has been huge, and honestly, it puts a feather in the cap of Gege Akutami, the author. I feel like it's hard to tell. I think if it's sarcasm or not, but like has expressed publicly his disdain kind of for Gojo as a character. And I think this season kind of is a good example why. Like Gojo gets removed from the chessboard and it's literally insane. Like all the fights are sick and all the moments are crazy. Obviously a lot of people end up dying because of it, because Gojo's not there, but that adds a lot of tension. So I think Gojo's probably, it's interesting paradox almost, that Gojo's like probably the most popular favorite character, but this season people love so much. And I think the reason why low-key they liked it is because Gojo's not around and like it forces everyone else to do things.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's just, it's a very interesting part of this story.
The one thing I saw was, I don't know if you've even seen this, Kyle, but apparently Gege, whatever the mangaka's name is, he draws his inspiration. He says the anime that heavily influenced this one the most was Akame ga Kill.
Just crazy. Everybody's like, Yuji's dead.
Yeah.
Because of Tatsumi.
I guess just really quickly before we move on. So just to recap. So at the very end, he's talking about his packs. That's just like from him being around from hundreds of years. He's just been going up to both sorcerers and non-sorcerers. The two type of people that he's going up to.
Yeah, the packs, in my interpretation, is sorcerers, like him and sorcerers kind of almost agreeing to this. That's kind of all I'll say, because it comes around later and it's quite important. And I think it's,
yeah, like I guess
talk about it now, but like the non-sorcerer people, it seems to be people that he just kind of claimed, like Megumi's sister. They told us in season one about her story, about she like went to that bridge, like with the cursed energy area, and fell into a coma type of deal. And
I completely forgot about that too.
Yeah, so. Like his cursed energy has put most of them in a coma. Like I think it seems to be that he selected the non-sorcerer contingents, because if you're not a sorcerer, you wouldn't know him, you wouldn't know to like ask. But the sorcerer thinks he's made like deals with over his years of being alive.
Okay.
He wants as many strong sorcerers as possible.
Because he's
involved in this quote unquote culling game, this kind of forced evolution of humanity. He needs strength to do that.
He says something about like the cursed objects that he distributed. Do you know?
Yeah. We know what that means, but I don't. You'll understand it later, I think.
Does that like trigger people to enter these like, because then he just is like, okay, yeah, I distributed these cursed objects and then I forged all these packs with sorcerers. I don't know.
I know exactly what that means. We know exactly what that means. You'll learn what that means.
I'm just assuming he's just got a fat army of people at his side, I guess. I don't really. We've been introduced to the pack concept before, and I still am a little shaky on it, but we haven't like seen it in a minute, I feel like. Is it just.
Yeah.
When have we ever also seen a pack? What was Toji's thing again?
He has Sukuna a restriction.
Sukuna made a pact with Yuji when he was like, I can only use your body for this amount of time and da da da, like all that stuff. So there's some sort of parameters that are made. And also Mahito had like made a pact with Mekamaru, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also like Mahito hinted at making pacts with himself.
You can make binding vows with yourself.
Right.
Okay.
There's a lot of rules, dude, and that's what's actually confusing and hard about. It gets more detailed and intricate, especially in this next arc. It's hard sometimes if you're not up to date with the manga week by week and you just come in after like five chapters and you're like catching up. You're like, wait a second. I always have to read a few chapters before. I always do that anyway with other manga like One Piece, but it's enhanced definitely with Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah.
You know,
we just caught up.
Yeah, we just caught up. So
that's on a 3 week break right now. It sucks. So we got to wait three weeks.
Both the anime and the manga raised the damn roof this year in 2023.
Yeah.
Well,
oh my God,
last year, we should say.
I mean, this
there are also a couple other important parts of the episode we didn't cover, like the five.
That's honestly, I feel like we're going to get, like, now we can transition kind of into the aftermath of Geto leaving type of deal. I mean, we kind of, I feel like, hashed out, it seems.
It exposes Yuji.
The mechanisms of everything. Like their conversation, how things happened, all that kind of stuff. The last comment I'll make here is I love Sumiki. They did like so much. They reminded me of Full Metal, her face, like the way her like drawing would shift when she was like, huh? Like shocked. It looked like the way that the Full Metal Alchemist characters would go, and reminded me of Eden now. But she's just great. She's a great character. She's going to fucking play a good role moving forward.
Her thing is sick.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
we haven't seen her fight yet in anime, right?
No, not at all.
We just see the like centipede looking thing.
That flies around.
She's an S class.
Yeah, she's a special grade. So she's on
more confusing,
not necessarily on Gojo's level.
And then just more confusing stuff here with the political. Like, I get at the core of it again that they're talking and that Japan is like a dead zone or whatever. But I just. the politicians speaking and saying like the Japanese Federal Bureau and we got to move all the prime ministers, and it's just a lot, I guess, to handle here too.
That was like real life politics. So in real life, they fucked up like the line of succession so hard that killed so many people. They basically just unleashed at this point. This is kind of, it kind of gives us more like aftermath stuff. He unleashed all of those transferred humans, cursed spirits, and. It's kind of hard. It was hard for me to discern, but like that prime minister stuff was like real life politics that were being impacted by everything that's going on. And then they talk about like expanding the barriers to like the prefecture.
Boundaries. And that's like jujitsu sorcerers.
That was the jujitsu politics, like the council of elders. I don't exactly know what they're called, to be quite honest, but they're basically trying to put like barriers up to like contain all of the cursed spirit. They're kind of pretty much giving up on the Shibuya area and the other areas. Those are just like
chaos.
Are we
implied that these people have been evacuated and or like murdered? Like, is all of Japan away, or it's like those five districts or whatever they listed?
Yeah, it's that black dot area they show in the map. Like, they're trying to put a huge jujitsu society is trying to put a huge barrier in that area, and then basically saying that it's just whatever happens, it's a free for all in there. Like, we can't save it. Like, whatever happens in there happens in there.
And then cursed spirits are going to be publicly announced. Which I always forget that they're just not known by people.
So that's like the real politicians that know shit, like Area 51 shit, and being forced to admit their existence, which they're afraid to do because of the other powers like America and whatever. They actually like say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's part of what we talked about earlier of like, when other countries find out about cursed energy and maybe other potential uses for it, it's not going to be the outcome that Sudogedo thinks it might be, is kind of the what Sumiki's perspective is on it. But yeah, and then like Galki brought up, we get into those very important five kind of rulings, just decrees. That's kind of a combo too with Yuta coming back. So I don't think we need to like break down the scene itself, but Yuta obviously has returned. I'm just curious, Dave, I guess, on your initial takes.
I love that he has the white robe. I think it's so badass.
People are obviously pretty hyped that Yuta's back. I think they timed like the release of, I guess maybe like the order of doing the movie of Chapter Zero and then into this season was like perfect.
I mean, yeah, I still think I would have liked to see the movie before season one, to be honest. I know Alki disagrees with me hard on that.
It's dumb.
I just feel like some of the surprises would be better like if I saw the movie first, because it I wouldn't have remembered some of the information, I guess, from the movie coming to this point. So I either way, seeing Yuta back was just like awesome. I love seeing the memes of, you know, what Jujutsu Tech does to a person. It's like beforehand Yuta and he's like all happy and smiley, and then it's like after, it's just like this like depressed looking human being with like a fake smile. Same thing with Yuji now, like Yuji is totally fucked after everything that he's gone through mentally, so his face is like not as happy as it used to be. But yeah, just can't wait to see
bags under his eyes.
Yeah, just can't wait to see Rika-chan. Like the big thing, one thing I guess I'll bring up now too, Alki and I had already kind of like talked about this before, is the first thing that I thought of from the movie is, you know, how is Yuta going to be strong without Rika-chan? Because I guess my impressions of the movie when we had last left it was going to be that she had been exorcised and there wasn't going to necessarily be a monster still with Yuta. But I mean, it wasn't like spoiled for me, but the thing that I saw that how it kind of helped me understand what's going on here is that her soul was more so exercised and not the actual monster that fights for Yuta. So the monster is still going to be there. It's just not going to be like he does still call it Rika-chan, but it's just, I guess, the body of the spirit that Rika was inhabiting. And so that was something that I was like not sure of, like how he was going to be capable without Rika. So it's good to know that he still has her, and he's still going to be like a badass because of it.
Pretty sure a good way to think about it is like he was cursed by Rika.
Yeah.
He was exercised in a way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then like the reason why he was so strong before that he was exercised was because he had endless curse energy because of this special grade curse spirit that was attached to him. But now he was freed of that burden, and like the Rika still stuck to him, but it's no longer haunting him.
Right.
Okay. Right, Kyle?
That is my interpretation of it. And I could be thinking about this the wrong way, but I thought it was almost confusing. Like the reverse. Yeah, where he was cursed and then he kind of flipped it where then like he cursed her.
Right.
Like cursed the cursed spirit her, not like the real her, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Either way, I get it that it's just more so the human, I guess, side of her that got exercised and is like free. And it's just now kind of a shell, if you want to think of it like that.
He was initially a special grade cursed human haunted by his late childhood friend. And they actually say it like with words in the movie.
But it's I love seeing Rika back, because again, I was just worried about like how Yuta was going to be so strong with like just a sword, basically, kind of thing. And I'm sure he is like, you know, obviously very capable with that. So we see him here take down the beast with the sword. So obviously I know he's that strong, but I know Rika is really like what sets him above and beyond the rest, essentially. And the fact that he's coming for Yuji is just going to be so interesting too, because we're gathering, there's a lot of votes now that are, I mean, it's obviously in place now that the suspension on Yuji's execution is removed and now he's going to be executed. But yeah, because I mean, we saw whatever the lazy guy's name, he said, I'm gonna fight for all my
Kusakabe.
Yeah, I'm gonna get Yuji killed as well after what I've seen here. So it's kind of interesting seeing how that has all culminated into now Yuji being exiled. And Algi said it too, we were watching and it was going through all five of those whatever you want to call them,
yeah, the decrees or whatever.
And like it says, Gojo has been excommunicated. And now he's just like, what a fucking bunch of idiots, you know? Like,
yeah.
And well, I'm just thinking the same
they've
thing.
They've talked like, about it. They've hated him.
Yeah, they have.
They've always hated him. So this is kind of like a very opportunistic move from them, I guess you could say.
They're stupid. They're just like, they're fucking themselves.
I mean, they're totally dumb.
If they get rid of Gojo, like, what's preventing them from getting fucked over, you know? So,
and I mean, the principal gets caught up in it, says he's kind of to blame, essentially. He's, you know, it's just like wild.
Yeah. So
I have some more details about Yuta if you guys care to hear.
Sure.
So following his victory with, I guess, Geto in the movie, Yuta discovered he was the one who cursed Rika when they were young, not the other way around.
Oh, that's what it was.
And he's a descendant of Michizane Sugawara. I guess I can't fucking remember if that's part of the movie or not, so I'm going to shut up.
But that makes sense. It was the big reveal was that, yes, he, I remember that being the thing.
But he also has vast, like vast
cursed
energy. Yeah. And he, I forgot his power is so sick. You remember what it is, right? It's mimicry, dude.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's right. So fucking cool, man.
So badass.
He's so badass. And Gojo steady says that he can surpass him, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah. I just,
he's such a beast.
Can't wait. I just can't wait. I want to see, I want all of it. I want all the strong characters. You know, I love them.
Well, I was just reading something interesting that initially, I think JJK was supposed to be like six chapters. And like they presented it as six chapters. Yuta was the main character. Yuji wasn't a character. And then people were like, I guess maybe editors or something read it and was like, dude, this is good. Like, you need more. So he had to change the whole story up, basically. And
I wonder if the first six chapters were chapter like zero originally in there.
Yeah. So Yuta's like the main character, but not the main character. He's just the man.
I can't wait to see him in action now. Like, because I still feel like at the end of the movie, he's still, you know, he's not fully fleshed out as a fighter yet. I mean, obviously he had the big win over Geto, but like, you know, he was still wet behind the ears. He was still young and, you know, now he's fully fleshed out. Yeah, exactly.
He's been to Africa. He studied a little bit. So, yeah. And that kind of sets us up perfectly for the ending. It's just that he's kind of accepting this mission to be Yuji Itadori's executioner. We do learn that, oh my God, I was making it such a point to not forget his name, and now I can't remember the curse.
The principal?
No, curse speech. Oh my God.
In his Zamaki or something? What's his fucking name? Inumaki? Yeah, yeah.
Is that it?
I think it's Inumaki.
Okay.
Inumaki.
I forgot about that too. That was fucking.
So that's a thing. And then we kind of just end with Yuji. He's kind of walking alone on this street. He's inside of this barrier of chaos, whatever the hell you want to call it, this just playground of cursed energy and cursed spirits. Claps his hands a little bit, summons some out, and then it's pretty much our ending. That's what we end the season on. There was a big debate kind of throughout if whether this would actually be the ending or we would get like the next chapter to be, I guess, episode 24, which is what I had been anticipating when I was, I guess, brainwashed and that there was 100% going to be 24 episodes. So, I mean, the next season is going to just start off just hot as hell.
I'm looking forward to it.
It was 2 years between seasons one and two. So hopefully it's...
They said 2025.
We'll have Demon Slayer between then.
JJK is so legit. Like, people get fucked up, bro. Inumaki doesn't have no fucking hands no more because of this shit. Sukuna just slaughtered,
neither does Toto. Toto's missing.
Toto lost a hand. I know. Yeah. Like, nobody's
safe. His curse technique's dead.
Nobody's safe.
Fucking bullshit.
Well, that's kind of so crazy.
Well,
that's what I kind of, the clap at the end here, I'm not going to lie, was totally expecting Yuji to just vanish.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I thought he would have been somehow like inherited.
I thought it was Toto's a call buddy. To Toto as well.
It was probably in some way, though, a call to Toto, like my best new friend. So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I don't know what else to say besides that this, I agree that this was one of the best anime seasons of all time.
Straight bangers, no skips. Read?
I was telling Alki, I want to read so fucking
bro, just bad, try to I hold out, dude. Yeah,
I'll hold out.
I can't believe you avoided spoilers.
Once I get like, I was telling Alki too.
I think after next arc, go ahead and read.
I've seen like minor, I'm not going to bring them up on the podcast now. I've seen minor spoilers and we can talk about it off podcast.
He said something and the way his brain's working, it's so good just not commenting on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up our Jujutsu Kaisen coverage. We obviously enjoy doing the anime stuff, the manga stuff, so we're going to keep an eye out. I have no idea what's like next in terms of anime series. We're currently doing Yu Yu Hakusho, the live action remake, I guess you could say, on Netflix. So been enjoying that show a lot. Holidays got ahead of us, obviously, and kind of interrupted that recording schedule, but we just have episode 4 and episode 5 still to come. So we'll get those out as soon as we can, and then we'll be on to the next one. The anime coverage, I think, has built up a decent amount of momentum at this point that we really don't want to stop it. We enjoy talking about it. These episodes are always a blast and a good time, and it keeps me on top of my anime game for the most part. So that's always a nice little extra there. And outside of anime, what is Bingetown TV doing? Bingetown TV obviously is more than just anime. So we are covering Reacher season 2 on Amazon Prime. And what is coming after that? Oh, Percy Jackson. Duh. I'm on that show on Disney Plus, which has been fantastic. So if you're one of the legends out there that likes Percy Jackson and anime, then totally check out our Percy Jackson coverage because we're also in that camp. And then coming after that, who knows? I know there's a lot of shows that are probably coming. I don't have a list of them in front of me. True Detective's coming back, I think, early 2024. I think we're looking into that.
That's hype.
There's just, yeah. So Bingetown TV is more than just anime. Like I said, we love TV shows. We're going to keep covering TV shows until who knows. So stick with us for as long as you want to. The best way to support us is going to be subscribing on whatever you're listening or watching on. You want to throw us a like on YouTube? That would be perfect as well. You want to throw us a comment on YouTube? We would appreciate that as well. It's always fun to talk to people in the YouTube comments. Shout out to, and I had it up the whole freaking episode for this moment, and I put it away. So I'm going to just keep saying words until I find it. And, okay, so yeah, DZ Low 785, great comment on the last episode of ours on YouTube. So thank you for listening and watching and interacting. And then the classic, the OG, Aid Goldberg 5972, been with us since the start. Our encyclopedia of JJK knowledge. I expect a lot of corrections essentially on us flubbering around with Tengen's abilities and what cursed energy optimization means. So
she brought up Haikyuu on one of the comments, and that's actually, we definitely should be covering that when the movie comes out.
Yeah. Oh, can't wait for that. Jesus.
Down. Yo, before you sign us off, before you sign us off, I want to ask, what do you think was better season 4 of Demon Slayer, which was the most recent one, the Sword Village arc, or this arc, yeah, this season?
As a season, as like an arc, as a story, this.
Yeah, I agree.
But dude, the Demon Slayer individual moments.
I think Demon Slayer is like anime. Just,
yeah.
Demon Slayer's anime is the best.
The Sun Dragon Halo dance moment in Demon Slayer is like, it's just unbelievable. Demon Slayer legitimately makes me like cry. It makes me want to just throw my body off a building.
It's hard to compare because the newest episode, the newest seasons, if you want to call them that, of Demon Slayer have only been like 7-11 episodes, whereas this was 24 episodes. Like, granted, enough, though,
the same amount of episodes. 20
of these episodes
out
were probably just complete fire. So I mean, yeah, that's not really,
I would say,
the best
as a full season. Yeah, as a full season collection.
Yeah,
I'd,
it was probably
take JJK
over like season 4 over over this. Yeah.
The anime and Demon Slayer is fucking fantastic.
I was saying this to Dave. I think that the Demon Slayer anime is better than the Jujutsu Kaisen anime, but I think I put the Jujutsu Kaisen story higher than Demon Slayer's.
I get down with that. I get down with that. Tanjiro's my guy. I love that.
I do love me some fucking Demon Slayer, bro. We've been rewatching.
We were talking about
every single moment is like
when we wrapped up our last D&D session of like Demon Slayer is up there with Haikyuu of like shows that get me so unbelievably hype. Like I feel like I just have like jet fuel coursing through my veins when I watch that
show.
Sometimes
just is midway through the Mugen Train arc right now.
And oh my god, dude.
Is Haikyuu like, on Demon Slayer's level, or is Demon Slayer on Haikyuu's level?
Haikyuu's number one.
Yeah, Haikyuu's in its sphere of its own, man.
Haikyuu number one is, it's just the best. It's,
dude, I think they're botching
one
it with the fucking movie though, man.
I think it'll be
I think I'm resigned to the fact that I just want more content.
True.
Yeah, it's been so,
I mean, you're right.
We just watched them kick the shit out of like basically the favorites in Nationals. Like, how can you leave us on such a cliffhanger? Yeah.
The twins were sick. Oh, bro, there's so much I could recast.
Timing is perfect.
Let's rewatch Haikyuu as our next anime series. All right, we got to sign off.
Yeah.
So thank you for staying for that little fangirl moment that we all just had over some series that we love. We love you guys. We love you guys for listening. We love you guys for following. We love you guys for supporting.
All because of the last time.
For the last time on the Jujutsu Kaisen coverage for season two, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.